Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Nain. Nain is a town which name means pleasant, lovely place, green pastures even. It's like many of the newer developments we've seen built around town, with names that bring all of these lovely thoughts of happy lives that are going to be lived out in such places, because that is the name of the place. It could be the nice name for a resort or a place of leisure and enjoyment. Nain. But Nain was anything but lovely or pleasant on the day when Christ Jesus approached it with his disciples and the crowd along with him. You see, death was found even in the lovely place of Nain. It had come to a woman twofold, earlier losing her husband and now in the death of her only son. You see, no matter how pleasant we think things are in this world, no matter what our greener pastures look like, this is still the fallen world made by Adam. A world under the wrath of God, a world corrupt and corrupting. And death is still catching up with all the sons and daughters of Adam. Now, the scriptures speak of three different kinds of death. We are probably most mindful, because we are so mindful of this earthly life, we are probably most mindful of the first kind, that of bodily death, physical death. That is what the scriptures describe as when the body and the soul separate. This is the kind of death that is experienced by everyone. Just give it enough time. This is the death which claims young and old. It is no respecter of persons. No matter what a person does, this death comes closer with each passing year and month and day, hour, minute, and even breath. Even if a person were from death onward, if they were to eat nothing but the healthiest of food in the right portions all their life, that they were to exercise with the best intention of helping their body, they would receive all the best care and treatment, whatever possible, and otherwise keep every other external danger away from themselves, death would still come for them. The second type of death is one that we often forget about. It's in the spiritual nature of man to be ignorant of this kind of death. It's a death that comes after judgment. It is a death that is found eternally in hell. That this is the kind of death that awaits all who do not put their trust in Christ. It is this eternal death waiting for those who reject Christ, who refuse to heed his word, and so forth. This is the death that comes to the unbeliever when their bodies and their souls split at physical death. And this will be the death that their resurrected bodies and souls will experience forever. The third kind of death is similar to eternal death, because it's really the eternal death as it is so-called lived out in this earthly life. That this is, as Ephesians 2 says it, you were born in your sins and trespasses. You were born dead in sins and trespasses. This is the death that is living in sin. This is the day-by-day death of the impenitent, the unrepentant, who love their sin and will not repent. This is the type of death that lies in wait behind each temptation that is put before you in this life. This is the type of death which pretends that it doesn't exist, that it's just made up, that no, these sins really can't hurt you until it springs its deadly jaws upon your unsuspecting soul. But as I said at the beginning of the service, Jesus is the death of death. Jesus deals with all three types of death when he comes to save. When he, true God, came in visitation to his people. For physical death, we have a small preview today in the lesson that Jesus reverses physical death. Easter is proof that this is something we hold on to by faith, because we know this will become very certain, very evident, very plain to our eyes, visible to all even, on the last day, as all the physically dead will rise. But of course, this is not to say that we don't have physical death still. We do. Physical death will come. Physical death rids us of what St. Paul calls this body of death. This body created by God but corrupted by sin. The same body which is then laid to rest, which then is raised by our God in glory on the last day. Jesus is the death of physical death, by his resurrection and by yours. Jesus is the death of eternal death. You see, a person that is in Christ, that is, a person who believes in Jesus, will never see this type of death. That's because Jesus removes sin, that which leads to eternal death. Jesus removes sin by forgiving it. That this is the work of Jesus, who by his Spirit creates faith in him. Faith which trusts in Jesus and receives all matter of spiritual blessing and benefit from him. That a Christian, that you, will never see or taste this eternal death. It's beyond you because of Jesus. Jesus is then also the death of the third kind of death. Jesus is the death of that spiritual death as it's found on this earth in this earthly life. That once Christ fulfilled all that was required for our redemption, he also then sent his Holy Spirit to bring life and rebirth by his word, by holy baptism, by his gospel. That this is the Spirit of our God who works new life in us. This is the Spirit who works within us to strengthen our faith in Christ by the Word. The Spirit who helps us put to death the sinful nature, that corrupted nature we know as the old Adam. That this is the Spirit who gives us a spiritual life daily. Arising to newness of life, a life of faith, receiving the good that God gives with thanksgiving and seeking to do all good for others along the way. That Jesus is the death of this daily spiritual death, because Jesus also then gives daily spiritual life. Nain, just like any other place, no matter what you name it in this fallen world, was anything but a pleasant place on that day. That death had come to a young man. That no youthfulness or pleasant earthly life could reverse it. All the world could do was have its procession, fill the area with mourners to show the significance of it. People paying their respects and so forth, as it same way it did with all the other deaths that happened before it. That's the help that the world can offer in the face of death. You see, death levels out things and makes us see who really has power. Jesus has power over death. No one else does. Only him. Jesus reverses death. He is the death of death. He, in the flesh, walking up to that gate with the disciples and the crowd with him, seeing the other crowd. He sees the situation with his eyes. He feels the situation with a heart full of compassion. That Jesus has compassion upon those who are under death. He sees that and has compassion. He takes and uses his very real feet to move nearby. He uses his very real hands to reach out and touch the casket. And then he also uses his mouth to speak words of life, both unto the widow, but eventually unto the son, the dead son. That this Jesus in the flesh is our brother. And in the face of disaster and of dread of this life full of death, he truly brings pleasantness and loveliness by his word. That he is not afraid of death, but instead he commands death. And as Jesus is stronger than death, he simply shows it by saying words. Little syllables of a combination of air from his lungs and the tongue and the mouth making different focusing and so forth to make those syllables. Making those syllables so that death had to bow its full strength under what he said. But that's how powerful Jesus is. And the crowd looking on responds in awe, in fear, in terror. Because it is not ever normal to see death defeated in this world. Much less defeated by something so simple as words. But in Christ it is the norm. And for proof, you just need to wait. Because the resurrection, the last day, is coming closer with each year and each month and each day and each hour and each minute and even with each breath. That at the Lord's voice, all will come forth raised. There is something from this text that our fathers in the faith drew that should probably be reminded of for you. That often, as it comes out in this world, in this earthly life, our Lord, our God, who desires to be our only God, will take away from us those things which become our idols. The son was the widow's only support, or so people would have thought. And yet God allowed death to take this only son from his mother. Ponder this. What things in this life receive more of your devotion, more of your love than God? God, in his love, may use the hard way to remind you of your idols. These last few years have certainly been so. A predominantly Christian culture, the safety and security of such a thing, or at least so we thought, gone. A Christian majority, with churches growing and seeing triumphant successes in all things, gone. A stable government with the rule of law for all, going if not gone. A stable currency with wealth beyond measure for almost everyone, gone. National security without the risk of some kind of large-scale conflict, going if not gone. Medical technology that can defeat all sickness and maybe even death, we were fooling ourselves. And yet all of these are just examples, they're samples of the idols that we create. Good and wonderful gifts of God, yes, but things that should never take the place of God. And yes, God may take them away in order to show that. You certainly can sit there and you can think about others, you can blame this on other guys and maybe perhaps those who have a different political viewpoint than you, but your guilt may be hidden from others, but it's not hidden from God. All those false trusts that have gone on inside of you, they're clear to Him. Be careful what you put as number one in your life. God, in His desire to make sure that you don't see eternal death because of such idolatry, He may take those very things from you. Instead, turn to God, who has shown His care to you over and over again, who has had compassion for you, has taken care of things that cultures and governments and wealth and strong militaries and medical technologies and doctors and all kinds of extra knowledge and so forth cannot take care of. They can't fix death. Only Jesus can. That Jesus has taken care of physical death by being raised from the dead and promising to be the first fruit of those that will rise, that you too will rise on the last day. Only Jesus can actually take care of eternal death, suffering it in your place for your sake, consuming in Himself the wrath of God upon sin, the wrath you deserved, taking it into Himself in your place, and then forgiving all your sins. And on top of that, giving you eternal life in heaven by His grace. And only Jesus can undo that spiritual death that happens daily in this life by giving His Word and His Spirit, of creating a new nature within you by the same, sustaining your trust, your faith in Him, of bringing you faithfully along the way, the narrow way that leads to eternal life, by giving you a daily spiritual life where you are aware of such things, a life of repentance and faith. You see, no other thing can handle these things like Jesus has. That is to say, no other false god can handle what God Himself does. He is the death to all deaths. He is the end of all those deaths that could have been yours. In the end, the only lovely place that we have, the only pleasant place, the only green pasture, is that which our Lord Jesus Christ makes for us in Him. Because where He is, death can't have us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.